This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. You might have seen them testifying on TV, the women who came forward in late January to recall the crimes of former USA Gymnastics team doctor Larry Nassar. Therapists had advised the women that telling their stories might help them heal, but the impact of their words went much further than that. Reporter Anya Alvarez has our story, and before we start, we should acknowledge that this story includes descriptions of sexual assaults, and it might not be suitable for everyone. We begin on the sixth day of testimony.
When I had to approach the stand to talk, I was closer than I ever wanted to be to him ever again.
Ariana Castillo took a deep breath and told the court what Larry Nassar had done to her.
I started gymnastics at Twistars when I was around 3 years old. At the beginning, I loved everything about it.
You know, I was terrified having to see him again. It was that feeling all over again. I tried my best to focus on the judge.
I didn't think it was weird, the placement of his hands, one on my hip and the other on my butt. I just thought something was wrong with my hip when you were feeling around the inside of my thighs, and I started hurting in my vaginal area, which I assume you can all imagine what caused this.
Ariana wasn't alone in the courtroom that day. Over 7 days, 155 other young women came forward, reading victim impact statements which detailed the abuse they endured at the hands of Larry Nassar, a sports medicine doctor who worked for Ariana's gym, Twistars, USA Gymnastics, and Michigan State University.
A lot of the girls, you know, they came forward the year I was born, but everybody just kept blowing us off because we were young girls.
When the abuse happened, Ariana was 8 years old. She kept it bottled up, never telling anyone, even her mother. But in that courtroom, she found the strength to tell her story for the first time.
It took me a lot to want to speak out, but I figured if I stayed silent, I'm only letting him win.
Nancy Hogshead Makar, an Olympic gold medalist in swimming, watched from her home in Jacksonville, Florida.
I was watching on live stream, like most people were.
For Nancy, this was personal. She's a former Olympic swimmer and a civil rights lawyer, and she'd been following this story since long before most people had heard the name Larry Nassar.
So the story really began to surface in the summer of 2016, okay, right before the 2016 Rio Olympics, is when USA Gymnastics starts getting called out for how it was handling sexual abuse. So at first, it was not a Larry Nassar story. It was a USA Gymnastics not taking care of athletes story. And I've been involved in that story since 2010.
That's when Nancy first started working with the U.S. Olympic Committee to try to better protect athletes from sexual abuse.
And I thought that if they only knew how bad it was out there, that surely they would do something about it. And it took me a while to wise up that no, they know exactly how bad it is. And they want this system because it saves them a ton of money.
So as Nancy watched Larry Nassar's accusers stand up in court, she didn't see victims. She saw young women who embodied what it meant to be a survivor.
I was so impressed with how vulnerable they were and at the same time, how strong they were. You know, I kind of could recognize myself, frankly, in a lot of their stories.
One of those stories was the one Ariana Castillo told on the stand. When Ariana began training at Twistars, an elite Michigan gymnastics club, she was surrounded by some of the best gymnasts in the U.S., including future Olympian Jordan Weber.
I kind of always looked up to, you know, the older girls that were there. So I think that was just like my main goal is to be just like them.
Ariana was a very independent child, traveling with her team to Indianapolis, Chicago, and Texas. That all started to change when Ariana was 8.
And it was the very beginning of practice. I was up on like the coach's knees being stretched for my middle splits. We heard a noise, like something cracking. And, you know, just kind of wrote it off as my back cracking because that's exactly what it sounded like. I kind of noticed it felt weird to walk a little bit afterwards. They just kind of thought I had pulled a muscle or something. So I just kept going, and it wasn't until I got to my leap passes that I fell on the floor and I wasn't able to get up. That's when I really knew something was wrong.
Ariana went to the ER. They took x-rays and diagnosed her with a fractured hip. But when she went back to Twistars, her coach didn't believe her.
He thought I was faking in order to get out of conditioning or doing any work at the gym. It kind of felt like a slap in the face, you know? Here I am with an injury and they don't want to believe me.
Ariana's coaches sent her to see Larry Nassar. She trusted him.
He came off as like a really nice guy, really sweet. All of the older girls in my gym, they went to see him. So, you know, I kind of felt like them in an aspect. I just felt honored to be able to see him because he was the top doctor in the sport.
It sounds like he also made you feel really safe, like you were in good hands.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, he made all of us feel special in a way.
After seeing Nassar a few times in his office with her mother present, Ariana felt mature enough to get treatment alone.
I told her she could stay out in the lobby and I'd just be right back.
Then the abuse started.
He would say that I needed to go through pain in order to be successful, and that was just part of it. So I just kind of took it as he's the doctor, I should listen to him. After that appointment, I went and told my mom that he just made me feel super uncomfortable. I didn't really know how to put it into words exactly what he was doing. But after that, I stopped seeing him at the office. But, you know, I still had to see him at my gym, too.
Nassar worked as a trainer on Monday nights at Twistars. Coaches sent Ariana to see him for treatment in an enclosed area in a back room. Should Ariana refuse treatment, she could face retribution from her coaches.
Every time I had to see him, I just had like this gut punch of a feeling. I didn't know how to put it into words, so I just kept telling myself that, oh, you know, it's nothing. It's just me being 8. I'm immature. I just wouldn't know better.
When she was 10 or 11, Ariana left Twistars and found another gym. She wanted to have fun again, but
I was still hurting. You know, my hip was always in pain. And I figured if I continued on with a sport, I would just end up having to see a doctor again or having to be referred to him. I just wanted to do anything in my power to, you know, not have to go back there or see him ever again.
Ariana stopped competing around age 12, but Nassar had taken away more than just her love of the sport.
I didn't feel as confident as I once had before. You know, I didn't feel as mature as I did before either, because I just always wanted my parents around no matter what.
So you felt like you needed protection again?
Yeah, that's how I felt all the time, and you know, I still feel that today.
Nancy Hogshead Makar was a sophomore on a swimming scholarship at Duke University when sexual assault changed her life. The year was 1981.
It was the first day of Thanksgiving break, and I was in town because, of course, I was training. This guy starts running towards me kind of slowly, and I was uncomfortable enough that I started running into the street instead of running on the sidewalk.
As she tried to run past him, the man pulled Nancy into the woods. For over 2 hours, he sexually assaulted her. But when she started to cry, she realized that could be her escape.
I could tell that he liked it. And so I started to cry more. I felt like the whole point of this was to really degrade me and damage me and to humiliate me until I was sort of at rock bottom, and then he was done.
The man finally let Nancy go. She ran to the police and filed a report, but they never caught her rapist.
Well, there for a while, I had to stop swimming because I couldn't let my mind wander. I really had to keep a tight rein on my thoughts. If I let them wander at all, it just would move into pure panic. And I just couldn't do that and swim. So they redshirted me. So they let me keep my scholarship, even though I didn't swim. I got into 2 car accidents right away. Bang, bang. And after the second car accident, my parents were like, Nancy, just come home. Just, you know, I'm going to cry now. But they said, you know, just buy a ticket when you get there. Don't pack, don't anything. Just drive to the airport. Just get home. So I did.
After taking some time off, Nancy started to ease back into swimming. It was there she began to find healing and remnants of her old self. So when you won your 3 golds at the Olympics, was there any moment where you thought like, wow, I can't believe I overcame all of this pain to get to this moment that I achieved this?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. I had lots of those moments. And at the time, I wish that I had had my act more together to be able to talk about having been raped when I won at the Olympics. But I really didn't. I couldn't talk about it at that time. I mean, I'm 55 years old and I just broke down and cried. You can imagine.
After the Olympics, Nancy realized that she could use her platform as an Olympic medalist to advocate for women in sports. She attended law school at Georgetown and began working on behalf of athletes who had been sexually abused by their coaches. That's when she discovered that the USOC and other sports governing bodies were hiding behind something called the no-duty rule. It's a legal doctrine that says a person or organization has no duty to protect another, even from obvious harm.
As opposed to, let's say I tell you, Anya, this is a very dangerous intersection. Let me help you across the street. Now you're hit by a car. Now you can sue me, right? Now I'm liable. So, United States Olympic Committee were doing that exact same thing. They knew it was a dangerous intersection. They watched person after person getting hit by a car, and they weren't doing anything.
Nancy realized the entire system needed to change.
Over the years, I wrote the policies, you know, child protection policies that the national governing bodies and the USOC should enact. And I got blocked in virtually every step of the way.
That's until more than 250 women came forward to accuse Larry Nassar of sexual abuse.
Your Honor, may I have the permission to address the defendant?
Absolutely. Proceed.
Dear Larry, it is hard for me to believe that someone who did so much good for me did it for all of the wrong reasons. This past week has been the hardest of my entire life, but listening to so many other strong women speak out has inspired me to do the same.
Larry, you are the one who should feel guilt and shame every day.
Perhaps you have figured it out by now, but little girls don't stay little forever. They grow into strong women that return to destroy your world.
By this time, Ariana Castillo was 20, but she still hadn't told her family what had happened to her.
And what was that moment like for you after you had finished reading your story in court?
It brought me a bit closer to everybody, you know. I don't think they really knew what I was struggling with. It made me feel happy to know that somebody was listening finally.
Nancy Hogshead Makar had spent most of a decade trying to get people to listen to her concerns about how little was being done to protect athletes. She even helped design legislation to close the loophole. It's called the Safe Sport Act.
So the Safe Sport Act does what tort lawyers could not do, which is it gives the Olympic Committee a duty of care. It requires them to protect athletes from sexual abuse.
Sponsored by Senator Dianne Feinstein, the Safe Sport Act passed the Senate in November of 2017. But even after hundreds of women had come forward to accuse Nassar, the measure was stalled in the House.
What changed the world is when those victims came forward and started talking. And when they, one after another, that was live streamed, that you had a judge who validated every one of those stories, those athletes were not only believed that it happened, but they were also believed in the depth of the emotional harm that this guy caused them.
The House voted to make the Safe Sport Act a law on January 30th, just 1 week after Ariana Castillo and 155 other women gave their victim impact statements against Larry Nassar. Only three congressmen voted against it: Thomas Massie of Kentucky, Justin Amash of Michigan, and Mark Sanford of South Carolina.
Can you tell me a little bit about the moment, though, when you did get the Safe Sport Act signed into law?
Oh, I'm going to choke up right now. So the first person I saw afterwards, I was working upstairs, and I went downstairs, and my son is there, and he's 17 years old. And I just, like, wept into his chest, and he was just so sweet. I was working so hard right before it got passed, and I was like, look, kids, I know I'm not winning any Mother of the Year awards, but I promise you that you're going to be proud of me. And we made it happen. This was huge. This is as big as Title IX getting passed. Every time I think about it for the rest of my life, I'm going to feel good about that.
Reporter Anya Alvarez brought us that story. Since the Safe Sport Act was signed into law, a former Olympic Taekwondo team coach has been banned for a decades-long pattern of sexual misconduct, and a veteran swim coach retired after his accuser refiled her complaints with Safe Sport. She first brought those complaints to USA Swimming in 2010. We'll have a link to Safe Sport at onlyagame.org.